Hallelujah, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. John, the 15th chapter that we heard read earlier. Please be seated. Jesus is the true vine, and you and all believers in Christ are the branches. God the Father is the vine dresser, and this is how Jesus illustrates your union with him in today's gospel text. Your union with him through faith by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you are connected to Jesus in faith, you're alive and you're fruitful as branches connected into the one true and living vine. Apart from Jesus, you are dead and fruitless. During Jesus' earthly ministry, many times he uses the imagery of vineyards in his parables. But in today's text, he makes it personal. He doesn't describe himself as just a vine. He doesn't call himself the vine, but he contrasts himself against all other vines that ever have been or will be. He describes himself as the true vine. This word true in our text can also be translated as real, genuine, authentic. Jesus is the true vine from which all other vines and branches receive their life. The branches are all who are in Christ Jesus. And as one of those branches, you did not choose the vine. No branch has the ability to graft itself into the vine. If you're wondering about that, go ahead and try it at home. Lay that branch nice and close to the vine and see how long it'll take to graft itself in. The vine dresser chose you in Christ and grafted you into the true vine in the preaching of the gospel or in the waters of holy baptism. In verse 2, Jesus says, every branch of mine. Another translation says, every branch in me. This means that from the moment that the Holy Spirit created faith within you and every other Christian, from that moment going forward, the branch's source of faith and life depends on remaining connected to the vine. Now, this may not come as a surprise to you, but the purpose of the branches are not to bear beautiful leaves and look good. It's not for them to provide shade. In the vine, the branches are there to bear fruit. For our context, it would be fruits of the Spirit. Namely, as Paul tells us, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, the peaceful fruit of righteousness, and sharing the gospel in an unbelieving world. Each branch bears fruit according to the abilities that God has given you, some with more ability, some with less. But as long as the branch draws its life from the vine, there will be fruit. You will bear fruit. Every vineyard needs a vine dresser. It sounds a little old school, but even with today's modern technology, vine dressers are necessary. They're involved with the daily pruning and irrigation and fertilization and cultivating the grapevines to ensure that the vineyard has a successful crop. Remember, the purpose of the branches is not to bear beautiful leaves or provide shade, but to bear fruit. So in our story today, Jesus divides all of the branches into two different categories. There are the fruitless and the fruitful. The vine dresser takes away the fruitless branches because they're siphoning off the sap. They're stealing nutrients and moisture from the fruitful branches. Their leaves cast shadows on the fruitful, not allowing the fruit to mature and be bountiful. The fruitless branches are those who have not abided in the vine. They have fallen from faith, for our context. The Christian who was baptized or believed at one time, but didn't remain in the vine, and they fall from faith. Their faith has withered and died, and they will be gathered together and thrown into the eternal fire on the last day. But a given grapevine can only produce a certain amount of quality fruit during a season. So the vine dresser prunes away portions of even the good branches so that the vine's nutrients and moisture and minerals don't go toward merely producing leafy plants and leafy branches, but it goes toward producing wonderful, blessed fruit, fostering a maximum yield of quality grapes. But the process that happens in the vineyard is not pretty. Once the fruitless branches have all been taken away and the fruitful branches have been pruned back, it looks like someone went into the vineyard and abused and beat that vine. It looks as if that vine will never even produce branches and leaves again, let alone bear fruit. God the Father is the vine dresser. He takes away the fruitless branches, and the fruitful he prunes. This word prune in our text can also be translated as to make clean. The Father prunes the good branches by means of his good and holy law. He prunes you to prune away that old Adam and make your sin and take away your sinful self to make you more clean. It's a lifelong process. It just doesn't happen all at once. Little by little, he prunes you, making you clean, making you more according to his will. It is true that trials and tribulations enter your life. These too purify you as you cling to Jesus' promises, won on the cross and delivered to you in baptism. And sometimes you may wonder what God is up to. What in the world is that vine dresser doing? He looks like he's stripping it from its life. The vine is certainly going to die. Why does God allow you to face hardship? Why do bad things happen to faithful branches? Well, God, the vine dresser, is pruning you and cleansing all of you faithful branches so that you trust and abide in him and bear more fruit, those fruits of the Spirit. It's what we call sanctification, God, the vine dresser's work of making you holy. As I said, it's a lifelong process. St. Paul writes to the Philippians, "He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." But from your perspective, God is working against you. But from his perspective, he's cleansing you, making you holy. He's disciplining you. From the book of Hebrews, we read, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it." Dear faithful and fruitful branches, the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. And this is all so that you abide in him and bear more fruit. Pruning the vine is not a pretty business. And when you look at your Christian life, many times it's not much to look at. It's not always pretty. Just as the grapevines don't look pretty after being pruned, your Heavenly Father, the vine dresser, doesn't prune you to make you look pretty. He doesn't prune you so that the world looks at you and admires you. Oh, how holy you look. Oh, what a pious life you live. Oh, what a beautiful Christian. No, that's not what the vine dresser does to the grapevine. He's trying to make it produce fruit. And that is why God prunes you. He doesn't want you to bear beautiful green branches, but he wants you to produce fruit. He takes away the fruitless and prunes the fruitful so they bear more fruit. But yet your sinful nature prefers that you grow wild, like an unpruned vine. And when this goes on, it doesn't take long, maybe just a few seasons. An unpruned vine can take over a whole garden, growing all over the place, growing lots of wonderful, beautiful leaves on the outside. Oh, how beautiful that vine looks, those branches look. But underneath all of the leaves, dead and diseased wood that must be cut away. Very, very little fruit, if any. This is how Jesus described the religious leaders of his day. He called them whitewashed tombs, pure and holy on the outside. Oh, sure, they look great. But on the inside, they are dead with no faith. That is the Christ, all of us who believe in Christ are exactly the opposite. We may look pruned and hacked up and ugly on the outside because of trials and tribulations. We look dead on the outside, but you are alive to God on the inside. Jesus is the true vine, and God the Father is the vine dresser. God's vineyard is the entire one holy Christian and apostolic church, and he keeps it a well-cultivated vineyard. And in 8 short verses of our text, Jesus uses the word abide 7 times. That abiding is important. When someone abides, they don't leave, they don't go away, they remain in. They continue in. They're connected to. You fix your hearts and minds on Christ Jesus, and you go to where he promises to bring you his nutrients and moisture in word and sacrament. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in Jesus. So what happens out in your yard when a branch is broken off the tree? Well, it dies. Maybe it doesn't die right away, but eventually it withers, dries up, and must be thrown into the fire. It certainly does not bear fruit. And that's exactly what happens to the believer when he or she is cut off from Jesus, the true vine, cut off from his word and from his body and blood. Faith doesn't necessarily die immediately, but it just kind of dries up, shrivels up, and blows away. Jesus says, "Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Unfortunately, you and I many times take our Christian life for granted. Sometimes it's like we're afraid of getting too much Jesus. Oh no, if I get too much Jesus this week, I'm liable to have an overdose. Maybe I can store some up for the next time. You figure you've heard it all before. You know it. You got it rehearsed in your mind. All you need is maybe an occasional bite of the body and a shot of the blood to move you along the way. 4 times a year, Christmas, Easter, what have you. Well, Those are all temptations of the devil. Because try it out yourself. Go home to your favorite flower bush or your favorite tree and cut off that branch or limb that you treasure so much. How long is it going to live? Maybe if you prop it up a little closer to the tree, it'll graft itself in. Probably not. To abide is to dwell, to reside and have your home or place somewhere. And to abide in Christ Jesus is to live in Him by faith. It is a baptismal way of speaking and living. You've been baptized and died to Christ. Scripture says that your life is hidden with Christ in God because you have been grafted into the one true vine, who is Christ Jesus. And because you are connected to the vine, the true vine, just like the branches receive all their nutrients from the vine, you are connected to the true vine. And all Jesus' gifts, won by Him on Calvary's cross, flow forth toward you. His forgiveness, life, salvation, and His love. Christ is your life, and there is no life apart from Him. There's only all of your outward stuff, all of your trinkets, your paraphernalia, all the visible stuff that looks like life, looks like you're doing really well, but on the last day, it will all fade away. To abide in the vine is not a sporadic thing or an occasional thing. Abiding is being connected to the true vine. He is your source of faith and life. It's where Christ feeds and nourishes you and makes you fruitful. And perhaps the reason you and me and many Christians are not more faithful is because we don't remain in the vine. We cannot bear fruit if we keep ourselves away from the true vine. Fruits of faith come from the Holy Spirit, who flows out like a river from the vine into the branch, making it more fruitful. Of all the fruits of the faith I named earlier, perhaps we could put them all together and whittle them down to one: love. Not the love that you have for pizza or Lutheran beverages or whatever your love is. This love that God talks about is an action. It's a love that lays down its life for its friend and enemy. It's a love that gives with no expectation of receiving anything in return. It's self-sacrificing love to the unlovable. It's Jesus dying on the cross for the unlovable. It's love, as in God sending His only begotten Son into the world to be your atoning sacrifice for your sin. Just like you don't originate outside of the vine, love does not originate with you outside of the vine either. Love is from God. We heard that in our epistle text. Love is from God. God is love. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You are not love. I am not love. And in order to love, we must be connected to the vine, who is Christ. We must abide and be connected branches in the true vine. And being joined into Christ, we in turn, by the power of the Holy Spirit, have the ability to love one another. You might notice in Scripture, you're never commanded to like someone. Jesus commands you to love one another. And this can only be done by God, done in God. Jesus is the true vine. It is a beautiful picture of how the love flows from the Father through the Son by the power of the Holy Spirit off into all of you branches who are alive in Christ. God's love flows from the wounded side of Christ Jesus. The early church fathers said the water and blood flowed into the font and into the chalice. And from the font and chalice, God's love flows into you through baptism and a holy supper. His love flows through God's word as it flows into your ears and into your heart, where the Holy Spirit creates faith. It's the love of God who loves a sinner because of Christ's loving sacrifice for you. And it is the Holy Spirit who in turn enables you to love, bearing your fruits of faith abundantly. And the branch is known by its fruit. You can't see the sap that's inside. You can't see the sap that runs from the vine off to the branches. You don't know for sure what that vine is, what that branch is, until it bears fruit. Bear that fruit, the fruit of love of the one who first loved you. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.